Here's the other reason. We all know Taylor Sheridan. He loves to kill off the beautiful women. Hello, Addison!
Billy, I've missed. No one greeted me this Christmas like you greet me on this podcast.
You don't walk into your Christmas gathering and with a big rowdy hello, Addison, from Papa J?
Not from Papa J, but I will say I felt like I lived the actual landman world this past week, being in Texas, specifically Lubbock, Texas, and driving through all the very flat land with wind turbines and oil rigs.
Well, I know you finally got the Papa J catch up, and I want to get to that, but we have like quite a bit to talk about, including if you're watching live on the YouTube stream. I started off this episode, much like Landman episode 7 started, with a poll. Addison missed it, but hopefully someone caught that joke. Which Landman character is most likely to die in season 2? It's going to be a big source of conversation, this podcast, Addison. I got 5 of them. I'm going to run through them. I have ranked them all from least to most likely, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit.
Are you going to tell me what you've ranked them?
Well, when we get there, let's get into some of the other things, and then we'll get into the show, and we're going to... Yeah, don't worry. It'll all be unveiled. Addison sometimes just hangs on like a viewer. You know, she's like, oh, you got to tell me? Like, you're part of this too, Addison. We're going to share together.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes I act too much like I'm a listener also. I'm like, so you gonna tell me, Billy? Well, let's go to last week's trivia, which I'm realizing we actually didn't have a trivia last week. So it'd be the week before.
Yeah, last week was not a live episode because we took the holiday week off. So we had an interview with Guy Burnett, which, by the way, we can talk about that in a little while. How charming and fantastic was he? Really enjoyed that interview. There was kind of a funny outtake moment during the interview that Addison brought up just before we went on air that we can talk about. But anyway, 2 weeks ago was the trivia question. And as usual, this is for one of the great Dutton Rules t-shirts at the Taste of Country store. If you are watching the video, you can see some of them kind of lined up beneath the video in kind of our merchandise section. And the one correct answer from all correct answers wins that t-shirts. What is Ariana's baby's name?
Yeah, I don't remember. You told me and I've already forgotten. Gosh, I'm dusting off some cobwebs, clearly. Okay,
Miguel,
wait, say that again.
Is the name of the baby. And congratulations to longtime viewer Mike the Hogginator was selected as the winner. We'll be in touch, Mike, and get you that t-shirt. Another trivia question coming at the end of this episode, and that'll be for next week's t-shirt.
This week's episode, episode 7, was titled Forever in an Instant, which did you kind of understand the title with the episode?
Well, I think it had to do with the very end when Cooper and Ariana, Cooper proposes to Ariana and they're talking about their life together and how they get to spend together, forever together. Mm-hmm. And Cooper says something like, it's going to go quick. Forever is going to be over in an instant.
Mm. Also, thank you, James. He likes my hat.
Yeah, James here. We'll put his comment on the screen. By the way, we can put your comments on screen. So if you have a hot take, a theory, or just a question, feel free to pop it up and maybe we'll either put that on the screen or directly address you kind of throughout. That's one of the benefits of the live stream here is the back and forth conversation. And we have a really, really robust chat going on today. So I appreciate everybody coming back to the podcast.
What do you think was the most important scene of episode 7? I can tell you what the non-important scene was of episode 7.
Well, let's back up just a second. We always like to give our opinions of the episode. I don't think we've agreed yet this season, but on a 1 to 10 scale, how did you rate episode 7?
6.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of there with you. 6-ish, 7-ish.
Wow. Okay, yeah.
I thought it was good. I thought it was sneaky important, but it was kind of like the Valentine's Day episode, wasn't it? Like all these romances kind of... moving forward in one way or another, we have an engagement. Angela and Tommy taking significant steps with the conversation. Rebecca and Charlie further cementing their love. And then has a little bit of a rocky relationship all of a sudden for those two for reasons we'll get to. Like, it was very soft and romantic, but I thought there were some pretty important things that happened.
Like?
I thought TL's conversation with Tommy Okay. And I have a clip of it here. I thought this was probably the most important thing from episode 7.
Whatever time I got left, I'm going to enjoy this steak, that sweet tea, a dance with your wife, that granddaughter's smile. You got it all, son.
That was touching, I thought, and it led to direct action from Tommy's part. At the end of the episode, Angela's mad at him. He pulls her aside and says, I am going to start living life and enjoying life in the moment. And first and foremost, I'm going to start appreciating you a little bit more,
which
really touching.
I agree. And I will say, though, after that scene where they were driving home and TL just was essentially a hard sleeper, Billy, there was a brief moment where I was like, holy crap, there's no way he just died. There's no way. Thankfully, he didn't. I was about to be like, you freaking kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're all going to, I think we're going to see the death of TL at some point, probably not this season, maybe next season. But I thought that might have been it too, until he pulled on his mustache.
I also really liked the scene where it's Cooper comes and picks up Angela and Ainsley from the airplane, the jet. And Angela is going to give Cooper her previous wedding ring. And anyways, you see the dynamic between, man, Cooper and Ainsley, like my brothers and I, we butt heads when we were younger, not as much now. They egg each other on, but I loved seeing up until now, I don't really feel like Angela for sure coddles Cooper, and Angela really hasn't put Ainsley ever in her place necessarily when she backtalks or talks trash about Cooper. She's just kind of like, girl, whatever, you know, just kind of flip of the wrist. Well, this time when she grabbed her ear, I was like, okay, Angela, putting Ainsley a little bit in her place. Like, girl, shut up. I was a little bit done with the whole sibling rivalry moment. I'm just like, can you shut her up for 5 seconds? Thank you. Thank you very much. And she did.
Have you thought about choosing your best man?
First, he needs to make a friend.
Maybe I should ask first before we start planning.
Yeah, she could still come to her senses and say no. Besides, it's the bride's family that plans the wedding, not the groom's. Groom's family plans the rehearsal dinner, and that's her last real chance to leave you.
Oh my God, Mom!
That's enough. Ground the twist.
Okay. I'm sorry.
It worked. None, though, because she immediately proceeds and continues to trash Cooper, who, I mean, poor dude, he just has sort of a dirty look about him.
I know. And I was kind of thinking, I was like, obviously you don't smell that bad that Ariana isn't also commenting on it. The fact, I think just Ainsley is out here to poke any aspect of the bear.
I agree. I liked that episode. James wanted us to talk about that that scene from that episode as well. So a little development there. See, these little nuggets of development throughout the way, I think, made this episode pretty interesting. Jeremiah asks here, he asks if TL has something wrong with him health-wise. He keeps talking about the end of times or how much time he has left. And as we preview episode 8 a little bit later, I'm going to address just that, because there is something that I've learned about episode 8 that is going to speak a little bit more directly to TL's health.
I mean, I haven't seen the trailer for episode 8, and I will say I don't think it's by chance. I would assume that he's talking about the end and so many aspects of that.
Everybody's talking about the beginning of episode 7. Funny, unnecessary, just sort of like a good cheer moment. Like, where do you come down on how the show episode started?
Well, so many different thoughts. One, I was like, I don't need a close-up of everything that I saw. No, thank you. Could have done without that. One. Two, I'm so freaking over Tommy and Angela arguing. It just felt so dang unnecessary. Of like, are you stop barking at each other? It's officially, I'm annoyed with that. It felt unnecessary. If you want a little playful banter, fine, but this is like 10 out of 10 toxicity. Like, there's nothing healthy about this little banter. So it just, to me, I'm gonna go with, if you said if you cut it out of the scene, it did not lead to anything productive. Like if you cut out the very last interaction with them of them kissing on the back porch, I would say that's more important than the opening scene. Like cut the opening scene. If that had never aired, there's nothing that we're missing.
I don't know if anybody who was watching is blaming Tommy for what happened. Like he didn't know there was going to be a room service in the room. And
oh, totally.
You know, he just thought he was sleeping in his privacy and all of a sudden he accidentally flashes her and then he's getting punished the whole rest of the day. Like poor dude didn't know. I didn't think it was his fault necessarily. Andrea kind of made it about her like she is, you know, prone to do.
100%. No, it wasn't. There was never one moment where I thought Tommy's in the wrong here. I just didn't think we need this yelling match after or the close-up shots that I got.
Over Christmas. By the way, how was your Christmas? I want to hear about Papa Jay here next, but how was did you have a good holiday?
I did. I spent a lot of time with family, which is great, and I did the tour of Texas. And I'm, as much as I love my family, I'm happy to be back.
100%. I 100%. Any great gifts? Anything cool that you received that you're excited to bring home?
Well, I did get, but this is going to be too sentimental, so I feel like I shouldn't. I mean, it's not going to feel as cool. But anyways, we have, I'm going to sound a little redneck, but in San Marcos, Texas, every year we have a family reunion, 300 of us, camp out, tube down the river. And anyways, I got a... one of our cousins is a great illustrator and my mom had gotten her to illustrate like kind of the shed where we all eat. And anyway, so I got that and I'm going to get it framed.
You're right. That does sound a little redneck, but I got a like a battery generator recharger type thing. Like one of those portable, like it's a total dad gift, by the way.
I was about
like,
to say, tell me you're dad 100%. Without telling me you're a dad.
And let me top it with an even more dad gift.
Okay.
I got a heated vest. It's battery powered. It has heating packs right here and in the back in two places.
That's pretty cool, though. I mean, here in Nashville, it gets pretty cold. I might have to come over and steal that.
Yeah, it's a thing. but I bring that up because I know you finally got to spend some time with Papa Jay, who's very knowledgeable on oil and gas law at Texas Tech University.
Yes.
What did you learn from him about, like, what does Landman get right, wrong? And I don't know, just what did you learn?
Well, I learned a lot of things. I learned that actually Texas Tech allowed the filming crew to film on one of it. They have an oil rig a little bit east in East Lubbock, and they filmed a lot of the scenes on that oil rig. Apparently, a lot of the staff and faculty were actually frustrated once they saw kind of the scenes that the oil rig was used, because apparently the general consensus of what Papa Jay was saying. Now he doesn't, I preface this of, this is all from conversations from people who have watched it. Papa refuses to watch it. He's like, there's too much cussing. The F word's being thrown around. So Papa will not watch it. Okay. Step one. So he's not watching it, but from all of his colleagues who have watched it, apparently it's incredibly more dramatic than it, how it actually even like time on the oil rig actually is done. And he was saying something I asked about him. I said, you know, the patch seems very, not a brothel, that's not the right word, but maybe let's say frat house, you know, and things that go on there. And he was like, one, unless the oil, unless where they're, oil rig is not actually the right word, whatever the machine is, it's not oil rig. Why am I?
The drill.
Yes. Wherever they're drilling. A lot of times, unless they're so, so far away, he's like, nowadays they really don't stay together kind of in the units like we saw. A lot of times he's like, they'll drive home or they'll stay in hotels. So he's like, that is not always the case. And he just said, he goes, there's so much drama that really they wouldn't stand for that the show leans into. So apparently the people who are actually in the oil and gas world have gotten a little frustrated because they're like, they're not showing complete accuracy on the industry. So the people in the industry sound a little bit ticked.
I will defend it a little bit because the Boomtown podcast that the show is based on does really kind of dive into sort of that seedier side a little bit. And it has some real stories of how the oil industry fuels the adult nightclubs and you know, a drug trade of sorts. And all those sort of extracurriculars. So I think it is pulled from somewhere. It's not Taylor Sheridan just making it up. Does he lean into it? Sure, because it's a television show and you certainly need to do that.
Well, and Papa Jay literally said everything he said, then he prefaced with, he goes, but I understand. He goes, I haven't seen the show, but I understand because that's why you want to watch it. Like, it's really not as, you know, interesting. So you do have to kind of lean into it. James' question for me was, what are we seeing about the coming automation of the drilling and phasing out of men working the oil fields? Is that accurate? That's actually a great question. And I will ask him because my papa is still him and his buddy. They lease out land and they're still actively, they'll go on land and drill. And so he has a few sites that he's working on right now. So I am going to ask him of, you know, is it more automated? Are there less essentially in the field jobs? So
unfortunately, we won't find out for another 2 years because that's about how frequently we see Papa Jay. But
hey, now I will see Papa Jay in April. He already asked. He's like, "Do you want to come out to an oil rig? I would love to show you." I was like, "Okay,
oh, good. That's commitment, Addison. All right, look forward to that."
Probably because he was Max, my middle brother, and him always started, literally they were in the other room, and I could hear them talking about oil and gas. And I was like, you know, I'm going to sit this one out. But I will see him in April, so I might get an up close and personal experience with the drilling world.
Live now at tasteofcountry.com, you can see a list that corresponds with this episode of the podcast of the most likely to die characters on Landman Season 2. And we've ranked them from least likely to most likely. There's a case for all five of them to end before the season is over. I think now we can go through that list one by one, Addison, and I'll share with you why each one is likely to die. The last one, I think, is the character that after last week, everyone thought was a goner.
Okay.
First one's going to shock you. I kind of wanted to tell you why you were taking a sip, just so you would maybe spit take.
Oh, I'm interested. Sorry, there. I also thought there was something in my water. Continue. Oh, wait. No, I don't want to be drinking water while you tell me.
Yeah, I can tell you're really interested. Oh, yeah. Real interesting, Billy. Number five.
Okay.
Ariana.
Why?
Ariana.
Why?
Think about this.
You don't have to tell me her name twice. I heard it the first time. Why?
She is the most important non-essential character on the show. And her death would define the series. That would be the series defining moment, forever altering Cooper's plot line, leading him to some character growth. Like, she's disposable, even though she's a very important character.
He would become a single father.
That's not his kid.
But there's no way that Cooper would just give Miguel to someone else.
He's got grandparents. I think that's possible. He doesn't seem all that invested in being a father at this point. Let's be honest.
He really doesn't.
He's never expressed his love for little Miguel. He's in love with Ariana.
I'm also curious if little Miguel had certain hours that he was allowed to work, because that kid has not been shown on television for a minute now. He like hit his quota, or like his max hours are like labor laws.
Yeah.
Because that kid has not really been seen on television.
No. The baby's having a contract Nap. Dispute. Oh. Here's the other reason. We all know Taylor Sheridan. He loves to kill off the beautiful women. Think Elsa Dutton, 1883. Think Alexandra, 1923. Ariana would fit right in line with Taylor Sheridan's ethos when it comes to this sort of things.
That's true.
Pretty girl death, you never saw coming.
That's true. And because I would be really shocked if he killed off Angela or Ainsley. That feels...
I agree.
It just doesn't feel right.
Number four. Yeah. On the top five list.
Okay.
And honestly, until recently, I thought this was probably number one or two. T.L. Norris. I think he's probably here to stay. It seems logical in a lot of ways because his character is so tragic. And as some people have said, like, he's always talking about how much time he has left, et cetera, et cetera. Almost as if, like, there's some sort of cancer diagnosis we're not made aware of yet. Sam Elliott's very old. The big but is Sam Elliott said he signed up for season 3. Let's go. He told Extra TV that in November. This is before the show was confirmed, but it seems like he is back and locked in for next season. So I got to put him at number 4 only on this list.
Well, I'm not concerned that he's dying in season 2, but yeah, if he dies, I'm just kind of like, that makes sense. No offense to Sam Elliott, but TL's old. He's frail. Yeah. That rattlesnake scene, there's not a world in which you don't normally, like, he, in any other world, you're being attacked by the snake. So I'm like, he's a cat with nine lives. He's going on number 10. He's gone.
Takes a leak all over a rattlesnake.
And the rattlesnake acts like he couldn't care less. Like, not real.
Number 3, Dale. Is Dale not the Colby of Landman?
Oh, that's sad.
Remember Colby from Yellowstone?
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's sad.
Like, they're both very lovable, kind of humorous, not terribly important, kind of undefined role on the show. And then, of course, James Jordan is on every Taylor Sheridan show, so he could very easily get another gig with whatever show Taylor has coming up next. He's frequently killed off. And then there was that whole speech at the barbecue about how his job is an addiction for him. Well, addictions kill.
Ooh, that was good. That was good. Yeah, I do think someone from the patch needs to die. Or it's inevitable, not that they need to die.
Yeah.
So it's probably him.
I'm having some mouse issues here. Oh, here we go. Number 2, and I think this one probably is the one that I would have put at number 1 just a couple of weeks ago, but now I really have no idea if he's going to die or not. Dan Morrell or Galeno?
Galeno's not dying. Why is he on that list? He's not dying. Sorry, I realized I did say last week that it wouldn't surprise me if he did. Sorry. I mean,
at the beginning of the season, it seemed like he was the villain and he was going to die because season 1 was so violent. This season has been not violent at all. And if Galeno's dying, who's killing him? Tommy's not a killer. TL, right. Cooper, like, there's no one existing that is going to put a bullet in Galeno's brain. I think probably for that reason, he's going to be much more likely to be like an FBI sting, put him in the courtroom than to put him in the ground, I think.
I agree with that. Gosh, what if like a Rebecca or Charlie dies?
I could see that. A Charlie maybe. I don't think Rebecca's going to die. Because if you take away Rebecca, you really have taken away that really leaves a pretty weak female cast, I think, if you take away.
That's true. Rebecca. You're getting rid of Ariana.
Yeah, but they can find another girlfriend for Cooper.
Okay, fine. What's your first one that you think is going to bye-bye?
First one has to do with this scene.
Well, I don't know what y'all give for 21 years, but I ain't gonna be around to find out. After this summer, you want to see me, you gotta come out there to Houston, baby.
Yes. Man,
just a few months away from retirement. And what I mean, that is the cliche of all cop movie cliches. Like, he was about to retire one day before retirement, and then something kills him.
No, I think so too, which would make me so sad. Because do you remember when they were dealing with the... It was sulfuric acid or sulfuric, which, by the way, Papa calls that, it's the two-step death is what they call it in the oil business. Two-step death is what it's called. But remember when they were driving away, he's like, I can't do this anymore. Man, I've got kids. I've got kids that I'm leaving behind.
Yeah.
I think we're going to circle back to that. And there's a reason why he said that, because you're going to just feel for him, and then Taylor Sheridan's going to rip our heart out.
There's been a lot of Boss this season, and his whole plot line hasn't really tied into the rest of the show. He was part of that gas link, the two-step gas leak, but he hasn't really been interacting with Tommy or the other main plot in any significant way. So I think that's another reason why he could get written off. I do really love that actor, though. Mustafa Speaks is his name. I didn't realize this, but he's in one of my favorite shows and favorite book series of all time, Joe Pickett. I've read every Joe Pickett book. And in the TV show that was on Paramount Plus, he played a character named Nate Romanowski, which was pretty interesting because in the book, the Nate character was like this thin, blonde, white guy. Mm-hmm. And Mustafa Speaks is obviously the opposite of that. But it was a really good show. It was on for 2 seasons, and for some reason they canceled it. And I didn't realize until just recently that he is the He was in that character. He was in that show. Good actor. Wait,
dang, cool. I didn't know that.
You know me, I'm always looking up the Wikipedia and IMDb trying to see who's this.
Oh, I sure do. And that's why it's a great asset. I love learning and I love that you do that. Something that I would love for you to kind of touch a little bit more on. So in this episode, we get a little peek behind the curtain as to why Monty didn't rebuild the well. And it's a, you know, conversation between Charlie and Rebecca, and then Rebecca kind of further speaks. Yeah, and Nate further speak to it. Can you explain? I like kind of know, but I don't think I know enough to explain.
Essentially, Charlie has discovered that the hurricane didn't close the well. The well was already having issues. It had already kind of blown out. The hurricane just destroyed the drill. So they have to retap and find another pocket of gas, which is going to be very difficult to do at 30,000 feet, a 10% chance of actually hitting that gas. Monty figured that out. And when Rebecca finally gets back to Nate, they have a pretty informative conversation about it.
This is starting to make more sense. Monty weighed the odds between drilling and litigating and decided he had better odds in court. I think we litigate. The goal being dragging it out as long as possible until we recover the money from the funds or the workovers are online and we can pay out a settlement.
So a 10% chance, he's saying I'd like my odds in court a little bit better because the insurance company's case is a little bit weak. And that's, as of now, what they're going to go with. Of course, they have to convince Tommy and Cammy of this plan and still work through some of the numbers. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Into the microphone.
By the way, I want to go back to this scene between, this was early in the episode where Charlie is explaining all this to Rebecca.
Wildcatting, it's a belief and nothing else.
I don't know what wildcatting means.
It's risking it all. Chips to the middle. Fortune or failure, caution to the wind, all on a hunch.
Gosh, I could hear that man talk all day long.
Am I the only one who saw a little bit of a parallel between that conversation of wildcatting in the oil business and like what Rebecca and Charlie are doing like right now? They're kind of wildcatting, put it all on the line, chips in the middle, kind of going it together. Like, were we supposed to kind of pick up on that sort of metaphor?
Well, I didn't. So I guess yes, but I mean, them throwing caution to the wind kind of screwed her over.
I think they're going to be okay, don't you think?
Tommy absolutely came to her aid of like, I don't care who, you know, you hook up with, as long as you're a great lawyer, like that's all that matters. And really came to her defense. Nate is ready to essentially, he made her sign. Is it conflict of interest, essentially?
Yeah.
More or less what she signed?
Yeah.
Which does that technically take her off the role?
I think it could possibly get her fired. And I'm really not a fan of this little subplot line because I don't feel like Nate would be this sort of punitive necessarily. But just this full humiliation of Rebecca is kind of really gross to me. Like, she went and had a good time and slept with this guy, and all of a sudden it's just penalizing her every step of the way. And I feel bad for him too, because it could be like a nice relationship, but now like she's gotta deal with this and like toughen up that exterior. Once again, like
we can't let her have fun, and we can't see the fun side of Rebecca without it being hit at her knees.
Exactly. And that scene where she comes back into, you know, she kind of comes skunking around the yard to talk to Tommy. Like, that doesn't seem like the Rebecca I would know. Nitty Patty asks, what program have I seen the Charlie character on? He's been in a number of things, but he was in the movie Oppenheimer with Cillian Murphy. So you maybe saw him in that movie. Or you may have saw him last week on the Dutton Rules podcast, where we spent a good 15 or 20 minutes talking about him, all of his British glory. He's a wonderfully charming man and told some very good, at times, saucy stories.
I loved it. Yes, y'all go check it out. It was our last episode before this one. We ran the interview in full at the end, so definitely check it out. My favorite, though, Billy, you lived my nightmare, and it was seamless. It was no big deal. But, you know, when things are live, especially interviews, and you live with, for your my end, I live with roommates, your end, you live with three sons and a wife, anything can happen. Just like your wife entering into the interview, and all I see is Billy's hand raise up of like, please do not, do not walk any farther. Do not, please. Thankfully, your wife obviously got the memo, did not walk any further. Was that a discussion after Billy?
Oh, it 100% was. And if you didn't know what happened while watching that, and I don't know that Guy Burnett knew what was happening because she didn't come in enough for the door and her face to actually pop in.
Right.
All you see is me seemingly hailing Hitler for no apparent reason. I give one of these to kind of tell her I'm busy and not break the conversation. I was trying to be as inconspicuous as possible with one of these moves.
Billy and I literally, we literally talked right before we started filming. And he's like, I told everyone in my house I'm on this interview. Like, hopefully no one comes in. And of course someone comes in during this call. I'm like, ooh, they forgot.
Yep. And to that end, these comments, which I'll put on screen now, was that someone's child. Yes. Yes, Jeremiah, that was my son, who I did tell to be quiet out there playing video games around Christmas break. And
hey, here we're authentic. You guys also get to step right into our lives as we film this. I just don't have kids running around that might enter into the scene.
Trivia is on the way, by the way, and I'm also going to break down a little bit of the soundtrack for episode 7 because I thought there was some pretty interesting songs, and I thought we could maybe add that to the end of our, as well as your questions and answers as submitted previously. But I think we can get to episode 8 now, right?
Well, real quick before we get to the music using Landman, only because I want to make sure I wasn't dreaming, was Shaboozy on this episode?
Yes.
Oh, heck yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure I wasn't losing it. We can talk about that later. Let's talk about episode 8.
Episode 8, Landman, and if you missed the 30-second trailer, here it is now.
We're doing a risk analysis to see what's more expensive.
What'd you come up with?
We're pretty fucked either way.
Next time on Landman.
Let's guess. The question is, can we find it?
The likelihood of a successful strike is 10%.
I want success. Get that for me.
I'm trying.
I gave her my word, Tom.
Does it kill the company? Absolutely, but that company died when her husband died.
How dare you?
Episode is called Handsome Touched Me, and the description from Paramount reads, Tommy hires help for his ailing father. Rebecca and Charlie clash. Cammy makes a risky move against Tommy's advice. And some of that I think we can probably figure out. We know why Rebecca and Charlie are clashing, right? Mm-hmm. Cammy's risky move has to involve Galeno, I would think. But it's the Tommy hires help for his ailing father that kind of has me concerned. Is he going to take a little bit of a health dive here? Or is Tommy just bringing in someone to be with him, sort of babysit him while he's out doing his job?
Is Cammy going to burst at the seams? What if Cammy eventually dies? I'm kind of thinking she might.
I considered that as well. She does seem to be kind of losing her mind a little bit. She's really sort of struggling, I feel like, in some ways. I don't know. Dies, though, I have a hard time believing that she dies.
Yeah, it does seem too extreme. But James noted this in the comments of our life, and I kind of thought it too. I couldn't tell when she says, how dare you? I can't decide who she's talking to. Like, we just get the back of this man's head, and it's kind of curly, which Galeno does have some curly hair, but it did look a little gray. I'm like, who are you talking to?
That's what I was trying to pull. Let's watch again.
I'm doing a risk analysis to see what's more expensive.
What'd you come up with?
We're pretty fucked either way.
Next time on Landman.
Let's guess. The question is, can we find it?
The likelihood of a successful strike is 10%.
I want success. Get that for me.
I'm trying.
I gave her my word, Tom.
Does it kill the company? Absolutely. But that company died when her husband died.
How dare
you? Okay, right there. How dare you?
Yeah,
that doesn't look like Galeno to me.
No, it doesn't look like Galeno.
That man has a little bit of a soft mullet.
Yeah. I'm curious who that is.
Yeah. Maybe a new character, one of those sharks from the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Who are kind of moving in. That's as far as I can tell.
I can't. Yeah, I don't recognize who that is.
Looks pretty good, though. I think we're going to get some movement here. There's the next three episodes, the episodes 9 and 10 in particular. I don't remember the titles of them, but they're all pretty edgy, including the last one, I think, is called Tragedy and Flies. So, you know, episode 10, the finale, has to end with some sort of something happens that's tragic, obviously. So these will run on January 4th, 11th, and 18th. And then we are done with season 2. Just 3 more episodes left.
I don't know how we're going to resolve this. I think we're just going to – how I think the season is going to end is on such a massive cliffhanger that we're going to be annoyed that it ended on such a massive cliffhanger. Like, we can't wrap up some storylines in 3 episodes.
Well, I'll tell you the one thing is the show's kind of acting a little bit like a show that knows it has 2, 3, 4 seasons in it still. Like, there's no urgency. And in some regards, I think that's kind of a good thing. It makes for a little bit more of a long-term enjoyable, like, every episode doesn't feel like a roller coaster. Like last night, we had a pretty lengthy Cooper proposal scene with Ariana that I thought was pretty beautiful. You can't have 5 minutes of Cooper proposing to Ariana if you got to get right to the next thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a clip of this. I just used it as the B-roll here, but you can see this is the most elaborate proposal. Really? I mean, is this how you want to get asked, Ariana? A little.
Wait, you mean Addison?
Addison, yeah.
I was sorry, what?
All these A names.
I don't necessarily know. It's like a little cheesy to me, but then at the same time, I'm like, just seeing Cooper be so sweet and romantic, I don't really feel like I ever see from him. And so it was cheesy in a sweet way. Did you propose like this to your wife?
I proposed. It was romantic. It was, she's got this little island property in her family, and we were up there and it was sunset and I made her dinner. But the one thing they got right is how nervous a guy is when he proposes. Like, Cooper was really like shaky voice, nervous. I was definitely that way. And like all my friends talked to that way. Like, like that's just, I think it's like the exorcism of the single man in you coming up.
No, I do agree with that. I've been fortunate enough to photograph a lot of my friends' proposals. And I will say, like, truly all of them, even my brothers that I photographed, talking to them before, man, they are a nervous wreck. Even they're overthinking. They're like, now which knee do I bend down on? And all of a sudden, you know, this stoic person becomes just this little kid again.
James, better question. Would Addison volunteer to clean up all those petals and lit candles?
You know, if it was my bestie, I would do whatever he needed me to do. That's a lot of it. I just see if there was any white carpet, all that carpet stained. That's what I thought of.
That was a lot. And once again, where was the baby? Who knows?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm noticing it. Miguel is missing in action.
All right. That's all I know about episode 8. There's a new character of some sort coming in that's going to take care of Sam Elliott, but I don't have any beat on who that might be.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to trivia.
As always, trivia for one of those great pieces of Dutton Rules merch, the t-shirts available at Taste of Country Store. And if you are watching on the YouTube live stream, you can see direct links to those as well. They're available for purchase, which I guess is probably hopefully assumed, but if you want to. James has gotten his, and earlier we had Mike as a big winner. But this is a trivia question. This is going to be for next week. We'll pick one correct answer as the winner from all correct answers, either beneath the video in the comment section or email to staff@tasteofcountry.com. On Landman, Charlie Newsom plays a geologist who is asked to predict where gas may be on the ocean floor. In real life, one cast member is very familiar with marine biology and environmental science. Who is it?
I actually know this one.
Get out.
I do. Wait, Guy talked about it, I thought.
I am stunned. I don't remember Guy talking about it, but maybe he did. You want to message me or Slack me?
No, he challenged someone.
Okay, don't give it away. Don't give it away.
About his knowledge. No. I'm not giving it away.
You look like you're trying to.
I'm not. I'm probably still somehow wrong. But okay, well, staff@tasteofcountry.com is where you can leave us your answer. Hey, if you want some Dutton Rules swag, go on, comment, guess. I'm ready to get into some Q&A. Speaking of,
what we got this week?
Okay, our first one is from Martin, who says, Guy Burnett has to be one of the best interviews that y'all have had. That dude seems so genuine. Martin, I agree. I had the best time with him. He's just easy to talk to, kind of shoots the shiz. Or like the best way to say that. I enjoy talking to him. He's so chill. Cool dude.
I would love to have him in season two as well. It doesn't seem totally likely. Maybe he's just one season and done kind of guy because of his role. But he has great chemistry with Kayla Wallace. Super enjoyable conversation.
The next one is from British expat who says, Cooper, take a bath for Pete's sake.
What is it about Cooper that
dirty to me?
He looks kind of dirty, though. Does he not? Like, even Jacob Laughlin, when you see him, looks kind of... I don't know what it is, though.
Okay,
like, here's he just has that look.
He kind of has that look, but also having come from... The reason why I sound so dang congested is if you go out to West Texas, I was just there for 4 days. We went skeet shooting, and when I tell you, my lip gloss had grains of dirt in it. With the wind and the dirt of West Texas, you can't outrun it. Every car has some film of this light tan dirt. I felt like I had dirt on me. So, you know, I'm going to give them some grace, having personally experienced it. That's just – welcome to Texas.
Okay. Fair enough. I guess maybe that's the reason.
I'll tell you the funniest line of the show.
We never really talked about it when Ainsley says that Cooper's Adam's apple looks like a soup can. Like, that was kind of spot on. Like, she sort of nailed it. It's very big.
I forgot about that. I completely forgot about that. Okay, the last one I have for us is an Apple review, and it says, this podcast offers an entertaining perspective akin to sharing conversations with a close-knit group of friends. Oh, I love that. The hosts include cast interviews alongside helpful tips on topics such as makeup routines while on the sailboat and tips for maintaining cleanliness during vacations. It is truly a highly recommended listen. I think I might screenshot that and print that.
I believe that might have been Johnny who left that review.
You know, we're a jack of all trades podcast. I might use that for our outro.
You know what's funny about that review? I mean, it was a 5-star review, so it was very positive. And I read it and I kind of recognized the handle and I thought to myself, oh, that's funny. Like, I knew you'd enjoy that. But if like someone's just like flipping through Landman podcast reviews and sees that, they'd be like, what the heck is this odd grab bag of?
They're like sailboat makeup routines. Isn't this about Landman? Oil rigs? What? Fair.
I wish you could respond to Apple reviews. Unfortunately, you can't. But
that's awesome.
We appreciate that. Leave a review on Spotify or Apple review, I guess, or Apple Podcasts. You can't leave a review on Spotify, but a rating certainly helps.
Tell me, let's wrap things up with the music that was used in this episode. All right.
You go ahead and get your preparation in order for our big close and how you want to close the show. I'll give you a moment here to take a breath because I know you really want to nail it here. 3 shows left. You really want to stick at the landing. But songs used during episode 7 of Landman, Shaboozy, and Big X the Plug, Drink Don't Need No Mix. That was during the barbecue scene at Boss's. Mason Lively Burned the Ground as TL is taking a leak all over that rattlesnake. Dano Simpson sings When the Stars Fall as Cooper is driving Ainsley and Angela back in his truck. And as Cooper is romancing Ariana and preparing to propose to her, Nolene Hoffman's Purple Gas is heard playing on the radio.
Sorry, I'm writing down the word I want to use because heaven knows I'm going to forget it. Cool. I like that we haven't done that in previous podcasts. I like you listing off the songs that we hear.
It's partly because I would include it in the weekly recap videos on YouTube, but I've pushed those to preview videos on Thursdays or Fridays, and it doesn't make sense to go back and talk about those songs. But I do like to mention the music because it's such an important part of the Taylor Sheridan universe fabric. You know, he's really intentional about the music he plays, and I think selects artists that he either wants to help or truly enjoys. Mm-hmm. And honestly, all the songs he chooses are really good, really good music.
Well, y'all, that's all we have for this week. The Denton Rules Yellowstone Franchise Podcast is another multifaceted Town Square Media podcast.
See y'all.
See you in 2026.